Good day. We've been waiting for some time to talk to you again, and I hope now we can spend a quarter hour once again in a broadcast brought to you by your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ. These brethren want to be your friend, and they trust you want to be theirs. We're dealing with lesson number 2 in a series that we've entitled Look at the Word of God. And we ask you to look with us today on this broadcast at the 16th chapter of Matthew, where we have a talk with Jesus. You know, I'm wondering as I look at the Scripture time and time again and read those wonderful teachings of what a thrilling time it must have been to talk with Jesus. I lament the fact that the young man that was mentioned, who was very wealthy in the 19th chapter of Matthew, missed an opportunity by thinking more of his wealth than following the advice of Jesus to sell what he had and give to the poor and come and follow Jesus and he would have treasure in heaven. This was equivalent to telling him that you can have the counsel and the association with me in this life as a disciple, but you can also have heaven. What a wonderful opportunity that was. For the next quarter hour, we hope to take a look at a conversation that Jesus had with his apostles. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, we have one of the pivotal points of the entire Bible found in the text. I want to drop down to verse 13 on the broadcast today and get this picture of Jesus coming into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi. Now, if you have a map of that area, we have a map before us on the wall as we record this, and I'm looking up there now at the Caesarea Philippi area. That's far to the north, north of the Sea of Galilee. It's different than the city of Caesarea, which was on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, which was the capital of the Roman government in that land. But this is up far to the north. He asked the question of his disciples. Listen to this question. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, I'm wondering as I read this, as we think of ourselves now being back there in the first century, who would we really think Jesus to be? Well, let's see what the apostles said regarding the man on the street. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Now, isn't that interesting? You can look here in the 20th century, and if you believe what the Bible teaches, and we're assuming that you do, then you would understand that all these guesses on the part of the man on the street as the apostles related to Christ here was certainly wrong. Jesus was not John the Baptist come back from the dead. He was not Elijah of the Old Testament. He was not Jeremiah. He was not one of the Old Testament or even New Testament prophets. Now, Jesus was a prophet. But I'm sure that didn't include Jesus of Nazareth as truly being recognized as the Son of God here for the most part. Then Jesus turns to his immediate apostles in verse 15, and then he asks this question, But whom say ye that I am? Now this sets up an interesting circumstance because we've already heard the human opinion, so to speak, of the man on the street. They had missed it completely. But notice what the Apostle Peter says in verse 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now we understand in believing the Bible that Peter was right, but why was Peter right? Was it left to human opinion? Or was it something beyond that? Listen to the next verse, which brings this out very clearly. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. This sets up an interesting circumstance that Peter's announcement here that Christ was the Son of God in the 16th verse was not human opinion at all. It was revealed to the Apostle Peter by the God of heaven. Now, I'm not saying that the other apostles did not know this. Neither am I saying that these apostles would not have come to the conclusion eventually that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that he was the Son of the living God. But you see, this is so important because what God has revealed here is actually the truth. And you know, as you take a look at the Word of God, that's what you're looking at very conclusively. You're looking at the revelation, truly, that God has offered to the world. See, that puts human opinion completely out of the picture. I heard a good brother say one time out to Independence, Missouri, one of the elders of the church, he simply said that human opinion has no place, and he used the term in the pulpit. Of course, that's where he was standing. He was teaching a lesson. He was standing there at the podium, And he simply said that human opinion has no place. And I do want to say that when it comes to the salvation of the soul, we cannot leave this to human opinion. When it comes to whom Jesus Christ really is, we cannot leave this to human opinion. Why is this so vital? Because Jesus said that I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. The Christian was going to have his life built upon Jesus Christ and upon the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, it could be said if one would say, well, my life spiritually is built on Christ, and someone would say, well, who is this Christ? The one could simply say with authenticity that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. It has been said by many people, because it's not original with us, that the 16th verse of that 16th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus said, when Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, is a fundamental fact of the entire Bible. You see, if this statement is not true, then our lives truly are built upon an imposter. And there can be no salvation in an imposter. But if this statement be true, and we believe it to be true, friends, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, then we build upon the very course of life itself. We build upon one who died upon the cross, was buried, but was raised from the dead by his Father, who indeed has gone to the right hand of his Father after his ascension, and is there to be eternal, there to be life everlasting. And it's this wonderful point that if we are building our life upon him here, we're building upon a secure foundation. That foundation is very secure, for in Ephesians 2 and 20, it simply says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You know, there's a congregation that meets in Lawrence, Kansas. We've had an opportunity of being a member of that congregation. And when the brethren were building a new church building, there was some discussion about what should be placed upon a stone that was visible and would be a part of the building. There was only place for a few words, so the term Church of Christ was used to identify the brethren who met there, what church they were a part of. And then the expression that says Ephesians 2 and 20 was placed under that term Church of Christ. This became quite interesting because there were people who looked at Ephesians 2 and 20, the reference, but they said, I don't really know what that reference is. And so one of the elders of the church said, well, it's a good one to look up. And you know, when people opened their Bible and looked at Ephesians 2 and 20, they found something that was very revealing. The Christian life is built upon Jesus Christ. It's built upon the fact that he's the Son of God, but it's also built upon that one who truly came to this earth to deliver men from sin and to make it possible for them to go beyond this realm of darkness into the eternal home of the soul. So here we are in the 16th chapter of Matthew as we talk to you today. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. So you see, it's like the wise man who builds his house upon the solid foundation. Might I suggest to you on the broadcast today that if you're a Christian, that you're not building upon your own foundation. In fact, you're not even in the foundation building business. I'm not talking about people making a secular living. Wouldn't be anything wrong with that. But spiritually, we are not in the foundation building business. Just as Peter made it clear in a sermon in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, that there was no salvation in any other. There was a stone which had been rejected of the builders, but it became the head of the corner. There could be salvation in no other, for there was no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Read that in that fourth chapter of Acts. I'm wondering, as I talk to you on the broadcast today, in this conversation that Christ had with his apostles, if we were to enter into conversation with Jesus, who would we think him to be? Would we recognize him truly as the Son of God? If we were to recognize him as the Son of God, which I trust we would, then truly we'd want to follow him. As he said to the apostles when he was selecting them, as we have a record given to us in the first chapter of John, he said, follow me. And isn't it a wonderful thing that with all the turbulence that was in this wonderful life, that came to a depth of sorrow when he was crucified to the cross, yet in the main, this was not alone the greatest life upon the earth, but it was a life that pointed to life eternal. So the men who walked with Jesus and found themselves in disarray at the time of his death, yet they became the champions of the cross of Christ. They became the champions of a marvelous message that as they went forth to preach the gospel as it was stated by the apostles, we truly are offering the truth of God's word that is able to make men free from sin. So in this 20th century, we can think of Jesus. I'm wondering today, as I ask you this personal question, where you are building your life spiritually. Are you building it upon Jesus Christ as a solid rock? You see, you're either building as the wise man or the foolish man. Now, you're building something in this life. You're doing something in this life. If you're building on the sand, then your house is going to fall. If you're building upon the rock, it can stand. In that last part of that 7th chapter of Matthew, the difference between the wise man and the foolish man was the action of their life. They both heard what Jesus had to say. The foolish man didn't do the will of Jesus, and he fell. The wise man did what Jesus told him to do, and his house stood when it was tested by the rain on the roof, by the winds on the side, and the flood on the foundation. We trust this lesson has been a benefit to you. It's been a talk with Jesus, and we trust that you will, if you're not a Christian, obey the gospel so you can have fellowship with him here and live with him there. Be with us next time as we deal once again as we take a look at the Word of God. Listen for time of service to the Church of Christ that brings you this broadcast, and may God bless you as you obey that marvelous and wonderful truth.